myself hooked up here. It's good to see you, good to be here. Since the last time I've been here, was in Philippines, in Korea, and it was just a great time. We ministered to 130 missionaries in the Philippines, and just got to get this hooked right. And there, had opportunity to sit down every meal with a different missionary, family or individual, and they came from Australia up to Japan, from Bangladesh, India, over to Papua New Guinea and Indonesia area. So it was just a great time to be there. Then from there, I went to Korea, and with that, was able to minister. My main purpose was to minister to the missionaries that I've been coaching. I've been coaching four Korean missionaries for 3 years now, and so just be able to see them in their element. But they asked me to do training with, if you read my letter, this is a repeat, but my set 2 letters ago, but that I was to do training in small group discipleship. And I preached, they had me preach that morning in a international church. And so we were running just about 10 minutes late to get to the training meeting. So the missionary that's going to translate for me into Korean went ahead and started the meeting and reviewed what he taught him the month before on evangelism. And with that, two of the teenage sons of the leaders who happened to be there, because their mom and dad were there, two of them had trusted Christ as Savior. So that was awesome. And then that night, I was in an international school, and which, again, it was in Korean, basically, so I understood very little of it, but as I saw the verses and got the gist, he was giving a salvation message. No one responded publicly, but then I went to a small group, and two gals got stalled on the first question. They didn't really know how to answer it. So I asked Judy, the translator, if I could take over, and she would translate for me. And so as I did, I camped off of the message and was able to share and ask questions about the gospel. And two girls accepted Christ. And so it never gets old. It never gets old to see that take place. I'll be praying on the 3rd. I'll be traveling down to Florida. And a couple of you said that's a good time to be in Florida. But I'll be doing training. I'll be speaking 4 times. I'm just part of a team. I'm not the only one, but I'll be part of a team ministering to all the international missionaries who happen to be in the United States, whether they're here on furlough or they're starting to raise support or they're taking a break or whatever. They're all required to be there. So I'll be there with our team ministering to them. So pray for safety. Pray for impact, and also I plan to sit down with at least, I have at least four meals planned with those I'm coaching, so just pray for wisdom on that. How many are here ready for Christmas? Okay, just less than half of us. Last night, Pam and I went out and got the last gift for our daughter and her family. And so got that done. We're not going to see our son until the 30th, so we're waiting till after Christmas for the sales to get their gifts as we go out to Pennsylvania. That's another thing. Pray for safety as we go out, as we minister to them. But the idea of Christmas has evolved into Christmas trees and presents. Am I right? Oh, another one, Santa Claus. Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. Am I right? Those are some things that surround Christmas. But as the title at the top here, everybody have the handouts? You got the handouts? That keep Christ in Christmas. Christmas. What does Christmas mean? And the whole idea, the first part, is do you have the... Yeah. Okay, good. The first part is Christ. Christ is foremost within the Word. And that's what it should be for Christmas. But also Mass, or Mass, Christmas, means to celebrate. The Catholics, they have their Masses, but their Masses turn into liturgies a lot of times. But Mass means to celebrate. And so Christmas is to celebrate Christ, not to celebrate a holiday, which is nice to be off work for those who are working, to be off school, am I right? It's a bit good to be off school. But we need to be celebrating Christ, celebrating who Christ is and what He has done. So as we look at that, let's just bow our heads and pray. Father, use this time for Your glory. Use this time not just to listen to a message, but Lord, each of us, including me, that we might walk out with a better idea of how we can celebrate Christmas, Christmas, in the right way. That we would enjoy, Lord, trading gifts. That we would enjoy watching others open the gifts that we've given. That we might enjoy the decorations. But Lord, as a families, we would also celebrate You. Thank You, Lord, for Your gift of salvation, which started with Your birth. It started with Your plan. Use this for Your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. So we look at this, and we're really in Luke chapter 2. And in those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee, Judea, to Bethlehem, town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him, was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in swaddling clothes, placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them at the inn. One of the things we need to celebrate as we look at Christmas is, one, God's sovereignty. God's sovereignty. It's interesting, fulfilled over 300 prophecies. Over 300 prophecies. We're going to just look at a few. But think about this. In the Old Testament days, if a prophet made a prophecy and it didn't come true, they would stone him. They would kill him or her. Whoever made a prophecy, it better come true or it's done for. But here, Jesus fulfilled over 300 prophecies. And I know there's odds to that, but I never looked it up. But it's quite huge, the idea of the number of prophecies that He fulfilled. For example, in Luke 7:14, it says this, "Therefore the Lord Himself shall give you a sign. The virgin will be with child, will give birth to a son, and will call him Emmanuel." Will call him Emmanuel. Well, that was fulfilled in Luke 1:26, where it says, "In the sixth month of Nazareth, the town of Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, descendant of David. The virgin's name," here it comes, "the virgin's name was Mary. Angel went to her and said, 'Greetings, you are highly favored.' Mary was troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you're to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end.' 'How will this be?' Mary asked the angel, 'since I am a virgin.'"